Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's Saturday podcast is brought to you by our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. The Iowa Clinic Men's Center will be the presenting sponsor of all of our coverage of Big 12 Media Days. Chris leaving for Dallas this weekend on Sunday. He'll be there on Monday and Tuesday. The Iowa Clinic Men's Center, check them out downtown. Dr. Drury and Dr. Tomlinson. You can hop right in there in downtown at the Iowa Clinic, downtown in Methodist Medical Plaza. Get your checkup during a break on your workday, or if you're not feeling well, they offer same day, next day appointments Monday through Friday. And you can check specifically ask for Dr. Drury or Dr. Tomlinson, and they are going to send you on your way and get you feeling back at 100%. Call and make an appointment and ask for Dr. Tomlinson or Dr. Drury at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center downtown at the Methodist Medical Plaza. What's up, Rob Gray? How's it going, brother?
Not much. Just thinking how it's always good to be 100%.
Yeah.
So thanks to the docs.
The docs. They've got Chris feeling 100% heading to Dallas. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about. We're going to give a nice little Big 12 Media Days preview. We're not going to be there, but we are the ones that are going to preview.
Yeah, Chris is going to be solo in terms of attendance.
Yes.
But we can certainly live vicariously through him for a few minutes before he departs.
For sure. He posted his Big 12 ballot that he sent in. The poll came out yesterday. Iowa State coming in ninth, which I don't know about you, but I wasn't overly surprised to see them in that slot.
No, I think traditionally that's it kind of shook out like you expect, although you see Baylor has come down for a variety of well-deserved reasons. So, yeah, it's kind of been cemented. Iowa State 9th, Kansas 10th most of the time here, and then Oklahoma 1 or Oklahoma State 1.
Yeah.
Interesting takes by Chris here. I'd love to discuss it.
I mean, I think that there can be a word Chris have Iowa State at number 7. Yep. I definitely think that there is a case to be made for Iowa State to be in the 7-8 spot, but I guess my stance is it's like what has Iowa State done in the past couple of years that would make you truly think that before the season starts, you know? As like media wide, I see why they're in ninth because I don't think that people are that are as close to it as us probably see Iowa State and they're like, oh yeah, these guys, they have some potential. They probably just see it and they're like, oh, it's Iowa State again.
Yeah. I think that's true. It does feel like that breakthrough year and at Iowa State a breakthrough is just getting back to a bowl game. But again, it's felt like they might be able to take it. You know, there were some pieces there the last couple of years. There were close losses. There were games that they just collapsed in, mm-hmm. that they'd had won or at least decent leads in the fourth quarter. So you feel like you're not really that far away the last couple of years. And maybe this, you know, they pull those games out this year like they did early in the road zero. They'd win those games in stirring fashion. So I could see them supplanting Baylor in the seventh spot, where I would have Baylor there now. I'd probably have Iowa State 8 right now. I think they can leapfrog Tech, which is probably very bad news for Cliff Kingsbury. But I think the Big 12 is going to be pretty darn good again this year. So I could see Iowa State anywhere from 6 through 9. I could even see them climb as high as 6.
I agree. I mean, I think the thing about the Big 12 this year is that the top is really strong, but then the middle is kind of there's the potential for them to all just beat up on each other.
Yeah.
And I think Baylor is going to be the most interesting. Baylor and Texas are going to be the two most interesting teams, I think, to see it in Dallas. Matt Rhule's first opportunity, I guess, to get in front of the national media and talk a little bit about his new job at Baylor. Obviously, Tom Herman will get in front of the media as well. And then I guess you could probably throw Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma into that category as well. But I'm really interested to see what Baylor is going to do offensively and how much of their past philosophies will carry over into this new staff.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there isn't going to be quite, maybe not massive change, but at least there's a transition because that's not, you know, the way he traditionally coached or wanted his teams to be made up. But again, that's kind of what brought Baylor success for the first time, you know.
Ever, really.
Yeah, so do you adapt then? I mean, coaches can adapt too, and maybe because you've been on athletes' radar because of that style.
Right.
Do you try to mirror it? So that will be really interesting. And I think you're right. I mean, I still don't understand how Charlie Strong couldn't get it done at Texas. I know there were lots of issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tom Herman's got – this might be his toughest job. I'd say it definitely is his toughest job.
Well, and this is one of those things where Tom Herman will flourish, like this the media day style.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where he can go in, he can win the press conference. Mm-hmm. But I'm still not convinced that Tom Herman has the coaching chops to win games at a high level.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did great at Houston. But Houston has a lot of built-in attributes to get a really good record.
But at the same time,
A, you can draw great recruits, and B, you play in a lesser –
And his team last year, I think that a lot of people would say they underperformed.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, you saw them, that was last year, they beat Oklahoma, right? They came out and beat Oklahoma in week one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we saw what
they lost to some teams.
Right. Just, we saw what that team could do in week one, and then things really kind of leveled off for them. And it seems like that first season maybe was a little bit of him having some success with some guys that were holdovers from the previous staff. And I'm not convinced in the coaching abilities of Tom Herman. I think that he's a good coach, but I'm not sure that he's good enough to bring Texas back to that elite level.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And it's nice of you to provide some balance here at Cyclone Fanatic on the Herman issue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Chris.
I've been pumping the Tom Herman breaks for quite a while. Now, even all the way back to like one of the first Saturday podcasts we did when we ranked the coaches.
Yeah.
I put him right pretty squarely in the middle. I was like, I'm not sold on Tom Herman yet.
Well, you've got some great coaches still in the league that have proven a lot of things on the national stage beyond just a splash game here and there.
Well, and you think, I mean, he was at Iowa State and, you know, I mean, success up and down at times with that offense. And then he goes to Ohio State and it's like, I know that he had some really, really good offenses there in Columbus, but he also had one of the best offensive head coaches that maybe we've ever seen here, especially in the last 15 to 20 years. And
pretty good talent.
Right, exactly. A program that is always stock full and always has a lot of really good players on that offensive side of the football. Texas is going to have a lot of good players. You're going to have the opportunity to get a lot more good players. But in Texas, I feel like you also have a lot more potential for things to go wrong because of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people getting pissed at each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that has been festering for a while.
Right.
Don Strong could clean it up, and he tried to. And that was a Jekyll and Hyde team under him. That'll be really interesting. I mean, back to Iowa State, you know – what Chris said about Kansas, I think, is right, too. Beatty there is, I think, doing the right – they need to give that guy several years.
Yeah.
If Kansas is smart about this, I think they've got the right guy. They're slowly climbing the recruiting rankings here and there, making a few, you know, big – actually pretty, you know, notable
signs. If we can see Kansas make a step forward and Texas A&M continues to take a step back – wouldn't you think that he'd be a guy that would be very hotly in the running for that Texas A&M job?
Oh, sure. I mean,
if Kevin Sumlin was to get fired,
it's gonna take a while, though. I think for Beatty to
to
put them in a position where
you
can't be hiring a guy that went 4-8 or 3-9.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can clearly see how this program he's revitalized the Kansas program, even though they haven't quite shown it on the field yet. There's more energy around Kansas football. They're putting $300 million into their new facility and renovating their stadium. I don't think that it'll help very much based on the last time that I was there. But I mean, clearly he is doing something right there in Lawrence to make football relevant to people in Lawrence again, which is saying something considering where they've been the last 5-6 years since Mark Mangino left.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing to look at in the Big 12 this year is the bottom half and how it's going to shake out. And whether Texas, TCU, or West Virginia is in that bottom half, 6 through 10, one of them will be. And when whether some of the teams that are figured to be 8, 9, 10, somehow they take a step up. I think that's where the real slugfests are going to – because I don't think a whole lot – like you said earlier, I don't think a whole lot separates many of these teams. Maybe – I mean, the talent at Texas is always elite, but the results haven't been.
Right.
And we saw what Iowa State did to them a couple years ago. almost got the favor returned to them last season. But I just think they're so evenly matched. I think Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and probably K-State are
pretty head and shoulders better than all those other teams.
But there's a chance for two, three of those teams from four on down to actually make some noise and maybe join them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're looking at probably a lot of 5-7 to 7-5 teams as you get down to the 7-8 spot.
The Saturday podcast brought to you by our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, the presenting sponsor of Cyclone Fanatics Big 12 Media Days coverage. Chris picked Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 in his media ballot. I know he's really high on the Cowboys, especially since Lincoln Riley took over there in Norman. I like what they have. I like the players that they have, but Oklahoma State's just one of those programs that, to me, every year it's like, this is the year for Oklahoma State. I feel like we've been saying this is the year for Oklahoma State for like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, especially in 2011.
I watched, for some reason that came across my timeline last night, I watched the highlights from that game again.
That was just wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Being in the press box and on deadline, that was especially wild.
Yeah, I believe it.
The whole thing.
I believe it.
But I could see that. I agree with Chris that Oklahoma is probably going to be three. I'm just not sure that Kansas State, with as much as they have returning, Bill Snyder, mm-hmm. kind of farewell tour. It could be like Willie Nelson's, you know, Willie had some many farewell tours, or wasn't it the Stones they were going to retire, or the Who was going to, all these.
I think every band says they're going to retire, and then goes on like five
more tours.
I think when
the Who and the Stones were in their heyday, Snyder was like 42.
Yeah.
Still enjoyed the music, though. I'm not so sure that they couldn't win the league. But I can't differ with that pick with Rudolph back at quarterback. Tons of talent on that offense at Oklahoma State. But you're right, there seems to be that one stumbling block every year, or a couple. They might get a huge win, and then all of a sudden they lost. I'm trying to remember one of these times, a couple of years ago, they just went on the road and got crushed by somebody right after a huge win. And that seems, that seems to be the MO. Also to watch, of course, the ridiculous mullet keeps going.
Yeah, he curled it. Did you see that? He cut it off a little bit and then started curling it.
Yeah, it's gone beyond. I mean, it's
I feel like the mullet has a life of its own.
If only he were curly on top, it would be in full blown Larry Bird territory.
Yeah,
which would be sweet.
He needs to get some soul glow off of Coming to America.
Yeah, there you go.
get that thing looking nice and shiny.
Indeed.
I mean, with Kansas State, I think that 14 returning starters, including their quarterback, Jesse Ertz, the Iowa kid, and it seems like every quarterback at Kansas State, they'll come in their first year and they'll show flashes of being okay. They'll get hurt or something like that, and that'll kind of derail them. The second year, you can kind of see what the talent is. It's like, okay, you can see this kid's going to be pretty good. But then it's that third year, the Colin Kleins, the mm-hmm. Jake Waters. Jake Waters only played 2 years. Yeah. But it's like that last, their senior year, finally they've been in the Bill Snyder system for long enough, and it's like, okay, this guy's a baller. Yeah. You know, and I think that that's what we're going to see this year from Jesse Ertz, is he's got the potential to be that. I'm not saying he's going to be a Colin Klein Heisman finalist type guy, but he's got the potential to be an all Big 12 type quarterback and be somebody that can lead that offense the way that Bill Snyder plays it, and be really lethal and be a team that can really challenge to win the conference. And if you're going to win the Big 12, I mean, you're going to be right in that conversation to make it to the college football playoff. You're going to be right in that conversation to play in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah. And that traditionally strong defense. I don't know. It's frustrating because I know it was the one team that, you know, Rhodes came so close to beating, and, you know, it's had a lot of just, nut cup moments with Kansas State, but it's fun that a team like that can still thrive in the league, especially sometimes even in seasons where it looks like they're going to fall off the map and they end up going 7-5 and upsetting somebody big time. They're definitely among the elite. I think TCU is really an interesting team. They might be the biggest wild card beyond what is Texas going to be via drama and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, such a generally on the field, well-disciplined team, TCU. I know they've had some off-the-field issues, but a lot of experience. You know, you got a lot of talent. They're good talent, but I don't know why. I mean, I don't see them. I see them almost squarely in that fourth spot, I guess. I think it's more Texas, West Virginia jockeying for 5-6.
Well, and I think it is interesting that, I mean, in Chris's thing here, he wrote, I am a Tom Herman shill, and I cannot wait to see what he does in Austin. But he still got him at number 5.
Yeah.
And, I mean, our friends at Athlon put him at 2, I think, in the Big 12.
Okay.
So it's just Texas is one of those teams where it's like some people have got them clear at the top where they're going to be battling for the championship, but then there's some that are, you know, how much better can they be? Yeah. Just with a new coach, because it's a lot of the same guys that are going to be back to play.
I think it's smart.
Without Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's smart to take the wait-and-see approach because you have to see how this team's going to respond. I can't imagine being a Longhorn fan over the last several years where you know how touted many of these guys were and they get in trouble or they don't perform or they fall down the depth chart because they're not their head's not on straight. And And that had to have been just maddening. Now, that's a tough, tough thing to turn around. And as Charlie Strong found out, I think Tom Herman has the mentality to do it. He's a Mensa man. You know, he's a brilliant guy. But, man, that whole culture is a real shakeup.
And I think that, you know, you like to bring in coaches that are going to change the culture. But I think, I mean, if Tom Herman doesn't have the level of success that people are expecting him to, if he's still only going 8-4, 7-5, 9-3 even, here in 2, 3, 4 years, at some point I think we need to look at it and be like, is it the coaches or is it just Texas?
Yeah, is that Texas has come to? Yeah.
And it's not that they can't beat
with Nebraska.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that realistically when you look at it, Texas has won some conference championships, but they won one national championship in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And even conference championships, 3 maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in
there. It's not a great number. I mean, the lure of Texas is as much as anything just based on where it is more than it is their success on the field, I feel like.
No, I'd agree. So it's interesting to think that I can't understand how somebody could even that full on, this is the year they're going to be contending for the Big 12, because that means if they're contending for the Big 12 championship, as you said earlier, They're going to be in the playoff standings. They're going to be, I mean, that would be, I mean, if Tom Herman does that this year, I mean, that'll tell us a lot about his capabilities, not only just as a thinker and a coach, but as a motivator, a guy that can cohesively bring a group together.
Well, it was not very long ago that Joe Tessitore was yelling, Texas is back, in week one last year when they beat Notre Dame.
Yep.
And it wasn't very long after that that it's like, okay, no, Texas is not back, you know. that it's just, Texas is one of those programs where the second that they start to show any level of having success, it's like, oh, they're back. It's an elite level team again. And I just think that it's more allure, reputation than it is actual flat or like actual substance to what they're able to do on the field.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You kind of see what I'm trying to say?
No. It's the name.
I can't put it into good words. I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, and what people who are fans of these programs have had to come to realize is that success is cyclical. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, Notre Dame was back, right? And then they took the step back. Nebraska's had some nice years, but they take a step back. Almost every program now takes a step back every now and then. LSU took a step back.
Yeah.
Alabama hasn't taken many steps back in recent
years.
But
they did.
But they will.
Yeah, they did. I mean, in the late 90s into the early 2000s, before Nick Saban came.
They were really not good.
You know, in the Shula, the Mike Shula years. I don't even think they could go to a bowl game a couple of those years.
That could be correct, yeah. So, I mean, every program has that. And I think that's the brutal reality for a Texas now. I mean, gone are the times when you can say, oh, we're having too many 9-win seasons.
Right.
Thank God you've got those 9-win seasons. I know you need to have that one in there where it's 11-1, 12-1, that magical run maybe with national championship type situation. But sometimes when you reach for that, you lose 9-3 every year and it becomes 7-5 every year and you got to rebuild and change things.
When I think in the reality of college football now today is that if you can be 9-3, if you can be 10-2, if you're going to be 9-3, 10-2, you're going to be in the conversation until the very end of the season. You're not maybe going to be in the college football playoff conversation, but you're going to be in the conversation. You're going to be a team that's ranked, and you're going to be getting talked about on ESPN and College Game Day and stuff like that. And if you can keep doing that year after year after year, and then, like you said, you can sneak in an 11-1. You can sneak in a 12-0 where you're going into the Big 12 championship game with a win, and you're going to get into the college football playoff. I think that that's almost as good as what you can expect in college football today. There's just too much parity.
Yeah.
There's too much parity in the sport where there's so many programs now that are reaching a next level, that are getting to that level where they're kind of in the middle. They're not elite, but they are able to contend with the teams that are elite.
Yeah.
And that's what, but that at the same time is what makes the Alabamas, the Ohio States, crap. I mean, I'd only put the. I think those are the only two that I'd really even put into that category at this point.
Yeah, in recent years.
No I mean, doubt. Oklahoma's right on the fringe, but at the same time, you'll see them get into that position, and then they'll crap the bed all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess Florida State, maybe Clemson, they could be thrown in there as well.
Yeah, but again, only in recent years they've had their struggles too.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't that long ago that I think a lot of people would have been. I mean, I think a lot of people in Tallahassee would have not been behind Jimbo Fisher. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Until James Winston came and they won the national championship that one year. I mean, they were good, but they weren't ever relevant on the national championship type scale.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, so we got through Texas. West Virginia. This is a team that's interesting to me. I think that they're one of those ones that's really unpredictable every single year just because they – I don't know. I feel like you forget about them sometimes, you know, just because they're the guy out on the outside, and it's like, oh yeah, West Virginia, they had some good players, you know, and 8 returning starters, but they do have a new quarterback, Will Grier from Florida, who was a pretty solid player at Florida before he got suspended, so it'll be interesting to see what they can do with him, and I don't know, I just feel like the ceiling for a Dana Holgorsen program's like 8-4, 9-3.
Yeah, it feels like that. When they reach 9-3, that's the apogee.
That's like the best that they're going to hit.
7-5, 6-6, 8-4.
The Pat White days are long gone.
Yeah.
Pat White and Steve Slayton. all right, he had West Virginia at 6, Iowa State 7, Baylor at 8. We kind of touched on them. And Texas Tech, I mean, I've said it plenty of times. If I strongly believe this will be Cliff Kingsbury's last year in Lubbock.
I've got to think they're on their way down because they showed every indication of that last season.
And if Cliff Kingsbury can't win in Lubbock, who can?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I mean, I don't know.
Who's next? Graham Harrell? Graham Harrell and Michael Crabtree?
Maybe. It's weird because they had so many good years going back to Leach and then following for a little while, but they just lost their way on the defensive side of the ball.
Do you think they'd ever bring Mike Leach back? Do you think they'd ever bring Mike Leach back? Do you think he would want to ever go back?
I don't think so. I think that's just too toxic a past situation.
Damn it, Craig James.
Yeah. good old Craig James.
He's not even on TV anymore, is he?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
At least
that guy dropped off the map.
Yeah, he turned his name into one that was not
more of a joke than
associated.
It was anything
people
else
to be associated with.
So that's, I mean, I think that Texas Tech is on their way down, and like I said, I would be surprised if Cliff Kingsbury is still the coach there in 2018.
And then Kansas is Kansas.
I mean, I think that they've got some guys that are good players. You saw they had some talent, young talent at the end of last season.
Yep.
They've put together some relatively solid recruiting classes for as bad as they've been. They had a good recruiting class, started going for the 2018 class, and that's kind of fallen off now. They've had some decommitments and stuff like that. But you can definitely see that he's done something to open some eyes of some of these younger kids there in Lawrence.
Exactly. And then I think when we talk about this bottom half again, I'd love it, and I think it's very possible that Iowa State can climb to the top of the bottom half, that West Virginia takes a little bit of a step back, and then fans are wringing their hands about Holgorsen again a little bit, and his seat starts to get a little bit warm. But, you know, Baylor's a big question mark.
Yeah.
They still got some talent, but how much depth do they have?
I just don't know how anyone can feel confident about what they think about Baylor. you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just too unpredictable at this point because there's so many layers to that situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, how many people are, you know, really buy into what Matt Rhule's doing? There's still a lot of Art Briles guys there still. Yep. There's still a lot of people that think, for some stupid reason, think Art Briles should not have been fired.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's just a lot of stuff with that doesn't have anything to do with football.
Indeed.
But my thing that I said about the reality of college football and the parity, that is what makes me strongly believe that Iowa State can get into that category, into the 7-8 win category consistently. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I mean, a first time really in program history to do that. You know, they'd start naming streets after Matt Campbell. Maybe some of the assistants too.
Yeah.
Circles or or courts. it's great to think about, great to dream about. Obviously, we're at the point where we're coming off of three wins and got to get back to that bowl contention. And I think they have a team assembled. Knock on wood, no crazy early fall camp injuries that has the capability to do that.
Well, when was the last time that we saw so many guys from Iowa State being put onto these? I mean, the watch lists don't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, they don't mean SH word. But it's like, I mean, when have we seen a guy on the Remington list and the Jim Thorpe award list and Alan Lazard will be on the Blitnikoff award list and Jacob Park's on the Maxwell list. And I mean, last year they had Mike Warren that was on a couple of them, but they've got multiple guys at multiple different positions at multiple levels of both sides of the ball that are going to be in that conversation.
Yeah. And that's, again, it shows you that you've got some great bell cows out there and landing at linebacker. I'm just so intrigued to see what that'll be like once, you know, the whistle blows for the first game against you and I, and I'd imagine he's going to be just a wild man out there. A lot of question marks as always, but a lot of things to be excited about with the talent, the kind of marquee talent, and then how much do the guys behind them fill in and fulfill their own personal potential to make the team successful.
I tell you what, though, man, it is right around the corner.
It is.
August 3rd, Media Day there at Jack Trice Stadium. Stay tuned on Monday and Tuesday for Chris's coverage from Dallas. You've been listening to the Saturday Podcast brought to you by our friends at the Iowa Clinic, the presenting sponsor of Cyclone Fanatics Big 12 Media Days coverage. You can get in and check them out in downtown at the Methodist Medical Plaza, the Iowa Clinic downtown. As for Dr. Drury and Dr. Tomlinson, they're going to get you back to feeling 100%, and they're going to get you right in and right out. Same day, next day appointments, Monday through Friday there at the Iowa Clinic downtown, Methodist Medical Plaza at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Thanks, Rob Gray.
Thank you, Jared.
Everybody have a great rest of your weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday.